Dominica. We apologize for the late start. Of course, we carried the news conference of the security minister, Mr. Blackmore. So as a result of the lateness of that, the news and announcements had to follow. Our apologies. Well, again, Dominica, good afternoon to you. And welcome. We have about an hour and a half to the talk on the block. I will tell you if it's on the block, then we'll talk about it. Of course, we have Dr. Thompson Fountain, the leader of the United Workers Party, in the house. Just before we go there, just before we get there, news that the High Court has ruled in favor of the gay man who challenged the country's law which criminalizes buggery and other sexual activity between consenting partners, including and in particular partners of the same sex. The gay man who brought the action is claiming that the law violates numerous rights guaranteed in the Constitution of Dominica. In his challenge, his lawyers targeted Section 14 and Section 16 of the Sexual Offenses Act of Dominica. Section 14 is a sweeping law criminalizing gross indecency, which is defined as any act other denial and vaginal sex by anyone involved in the use of genital organs, breast or anus, to arouse or gratify sexual desire. The maximum penalty was then 12 years in prison if the act, I'll go back to that story, if the act committed with a person age 16 or older. While Section 16 of the Act criminalizes buggery, which is the act that defines as anal sex between two men or between a man and a woman. The maximum penalty is 10 years imprisonment plus the possibility of forced psychiatric confinement. Dominica will explore that further, I'm sure. The bubbles. Oh boy, I met a few people on the streets already crying foul. This should not happen in Dominica. In a nutshell, the gay men have found their way. I wonder how the bishop and the Christian society will react. All right, Dominica, this is it. 127. Interesting information coming forward as it relates to the buggery law. All right. Coming back. So in other words, if you did not understand, the buggery laws on our books have been decriminalized, so it's no longer a crime. I see my telephone's going, but we're not ready for that, huh? Let's talk about that tomorrow. My scheduled appointment is with Dr. Thompson Fontaine. And you know you're eager to talk, and all the bishops and the pastors maybe. To speak about it. Well, they say law is law, huh? What else can you do? Kyra Schillenford represented the gay man named BG, huh? With David Forrest for the AG, Joshua Francis for the Dominic Association of Evangelical Churches, and Joel Harris for the Bishop of Rosa. Mr. Thompson Fontaine, good afternoon to you. Very serious case, as you see, huh?
Matt, good afternoon. I was not aware of the case even before the court, so it's all new to me. I'm just hearing of it right now. Very interesting.
That's all you can say for now. That's all you know.
For now, until I can say it, Matt, I know that it was against the laws of Bogri. But what I'm not clear is how far it goes. Because I remember a few years ago when this visiting couple were on public display as they came into Dominica.
To port right there in Dominica.
Right. And so I'm not sure if that also is allowed. So we'll have to look at it. I honestly do not know. I don't have the law before me. I'm not sure what parts of it remain, what parts of it go. Because you could decriminalize it, but it could be within the confines of your home. But does it allow you to do it publicly? That's what I'm not sure about.
All right, I guess we will explore that when we have more information. But the big thing is, it is now legal. Of course, it's decriminalized, if you will. So men and men, women and women can do their thing in privately, if I will. They're now given legal rights to do what they have to do. We'll talk a little more about this. Mr. Thompson Fontaine, I know we just wrapped up a meeting. We'll talk about what happened in Antigua on the weekend. But we just wrapped up a meeting there with, of course, the president of Dominica. What happened there?
Matt, as part of our ongoing efforts to push through electoral reforms here in Dominica, we met this morning with the president of Dominica. By we, I mean the Electoral Reform Coalition. That's made up of several organizations, including the political parties here in Dominica, as well as the Civic Vibes, NJAM. We also had with us as well Concerned Citizens and the Business Forum, as well as the Evangelical Association. So these are different individuals who were involved in that process this morning, meeting with the president, basically, and presented her with a very comprehensive list of what we believe good electoral reform should represent. It was nicely broken down into what can happen now, what can happen in the medium term, and what can happen in the long term. In the long term basically means making some changes to our constitution. It was very well received. The president was extremely gracious in hosting us this morning. And we had a very good discussion with her. I think herself is committed towards good governance in this country. So we understand that in terms of what she can do as a person within the office.
Why would you come to that conclusion? She's for good governance. I'm just asking.
Well, based on what she indicated during the meeting, it was clear to us that she was of the view that we need to have, you know, good governance is good for the country, expressing a hope that, you know, we have a peaceful country, that we have something that everybody can agree to, and we can move forward in harmony. So the sentiments that were expressed by her, I thought, were well in keeping with a desire for good and accountable governance. And she indicated to us quite frankly that her her role really in that situation is to advise. She can speak to the parliament, she can speak to the prime minister, she can speak to other individuals in a role as in an advisory role to say, okay, that's what I believe. By the end of the day, she is not in a position to effect any change per se, but we believe that through, and that's what we basically ask her to do. We ask her to use her good offices and I even use the term of moral suasion to sway, you know, the conversation in a way that we can guarantee electoral reforms for Dominica.
So it looks good.
It looks good. I was quite happy with it. I think I can express a sentiment by all of those who were represented this morning that we were happy with the meeting. And also present was the Attorney General as well. I raised the issue of the fact that we were told by the Prime Minister a few weeks ago that we'd have electoral reform in the first 2 weeks of April. There would be something. So I raised that issue. And I think what I got back in general discussion, including with the inputs of the Attorney General, is that they are still in the process of working it out and that we should expect within a reasonable amount of time to get that going first to the Electoral Commission and then coming to the public and to the Parliament.
Let me play for you something that the Prime Minister said that's confusing a lot of people as it relates to electoral reform. I know he said in the second week of April, you know, he would bring something forward. But this is what a senior government official, a former government official, I won't quote who it is at this time, but he's very, very concerned about a statement made by the Prime Minister, and this is what we heard in recent times. Let's see if we can get it.
Second week of April, we will present to the public by publication of the recommendations on the government website and making it available to all and sundry, so that they can be aware of what we're proposing to take to the parliament.
Let me take it back a bit.
I believe that all things considered, by the second week of April, we will present to the public by publication of the recommendations on the government website and making it available to all and sundry, so that they can be aware of what we're proposing to take to the parliament in respect to electoral reform, following which, as is required by law, we will submit that to the Electoral Commission. And then once we receive word from the Electoral Commission, we will go to parliament to pass the legislation and to give the Electoral Commission the legal authority now by parliament to proceed with implementing the electoral reform measures. In addition to that, we will ensure that the necessary budgetary allocations will be made in this upcoming budget to allow for the Electoral Commission to have the resources to implement the electoral reform measures. So I am satisfied that we will go to Parliament before the end of the financial year and before we present the 2024-2025 budget to the country. It's important that we move ahead with it. My hope and prayer is that those persons who say they want electoral reform and that they are genuinely interested in electoral reform will understand we have to go, we have to move, and move with implementing those things. There are other issues that in the Sir Dennis Byron report, which some of which came out of the consultation, which have implications for the Constitution insofar as constitutional amendments. Our view is that we can achieve our objectives based on what the citizens of Dominica are saying, where electoral reform is concerned, without having to interfere with the Constitution. And if we are to interfere with the Constitution at this stage, then there will be a prolonged process because there are provisions in the Constitution which require you to go for a referendum for many. And do we need any referendum, any constitutional reform to effect the national ID cards and to do reconfirmation or the confirmation of voters in the voters' lists and to allow political parties to have access to DBS radio during the election campaign. So I think that there are five, six I think there are 5-6 main points that I wish we can advance, that I believe that if we're all genuinely interested in electoral reform, that we can achieve our objectives and address the concerns that Dominicans would have raised over time. And so that's the time line we're looking at, by the second week of April, to make it available, what we're proposing, the draft legislation and so forth. Because even in the Sir Dennis Byron report, some of the things that he recommended, and he later recognized that some of the provisions would be in violation of the Constitution. So I must commend the Attorney General and the other team members who went through this in a very, very detailed manner for the exceptional work that they have done in combing through. Because there's one thing to say we're in electoral reform, but there's another thing to be disciplined and to ensure that the legislation is accurate and it satisfies the concerns of the people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But rest assured in this country that Roosevelt Scared as Prime Minister absolutely want electoral reform, and I absolutely want it to be dealt with once and for all, and I absolutely want it to go before the budget address of 2024, and to get this out of our way, and let us focus on equally important things that are affecting the people of Dominica. And so my open prayer is that those who want it, you want it, you say you want it, when it's being given to you, please. But I want to say to the people of Dominica that nothing is going to stop me to bring about electoral reform in Dominica. Nothing. I'm going with it. I'm going to go with it. Full blast.
All right, Mr. Prime Minister. Now, just to reveal here, here's what a former senior government official that I send the text to, or the voice note to, he says, Matt, which provisions that the Prime Minister is talking about, of which draft legislation? He said by the second week of April to make available what we are proposing, the draft legislation and so forth. As of April 20th, 2024, there is no such publication on the website of the government of Dominica. So, according to that senior official, which I'll keep quiet for now, the Attorney General needs to say, or needs to speak to, the provisions that the Prime Minister is talking about, of which draft legislation? Because would you have a legal luminary like Sir Dennis Byron? Do you think Mr. Byron, although everybody can put something in the draft legislation that will affect the Constitution of Dominica? And then you would have Mr. AG and to review that? I'm lost for words. So there are a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions at this time. And as I said, I brought that up because you just met with the President of Dominica. But the Prime Minister seemed to have some issues with some provisions presented in that draft legislation. Your take.
Matt, one thing is clear to me, as clear as the statement that we just heard. You heard it from the Prime Minister. He said it once, he said it twice, he said it the third time. He re-emphasized he will have it by April, second week of April. Nothing was going to stop him, absolutely nothing. He's going full steam ahead. And today is the 23rd or 24th of April. We don't have anything as yet that we can look at or look to. What I suspect is, Matt, there are probably some recommendations that were made within that. If you're going to go forward, you'd probably have to make some adjustments to the Constitution. And I think there were probably one or two of those. But the fundamental issues that we are concerned with, that we have been calling for, such as the cleansing of the voters list, the issuing of voter ID cards, access to the radio station, these can be done without any change to the Constitution. Let's be very clear about
that. You know that for a fact.
So yes, so the key provisions that we've been asking about, that we've been pleading for, in particular the cleansing of the voters list and the issue of voter ID cards, you do not necessarily have to go to review the Constitution for any of that. So we can expect that whatever legislation comes forward would have these and those key elements.
Would you say that's a stalling tactic?
I mean, I did not get the impression he was saying that because of that he would stop. What I got the impression that he was saying is that there are some bits that they cannot put in because
you
have to.
Don't you think he has a right to, and his agent, to explain to the public?
Yes, absolutely. And I hope when we get the draft legislation that there is some. For example, if something is glaringly missing, like if you have a major piece of legislation or something that really speaks to the heart of the issue now that is missing, we want to get an explanation why it is missing. So, for example, if we get legislation, let's say it comes next week or in a month's time, and it indicates that we do not have voter ID cards, we do not have a clean, as I said, those major issues, then we'll have a serious problem because, as I said, this can be done without any tinkering with the Constitution.
The man who said no law, not even the Constitution, suddenly speaks of something in violation of the Constitution. No, nothing gonna stop him. What is wrong with that confused, somebody says, Frenchman? He says a Dominican, but this is just a WhatsApp message there. But you can call as we go along. We want to interact with Dr. Thompson Fontaine. What's your take on what you're hearing there from the Prime Minister of Dominica? Suddenly, Skerritt said that Sir Dennis Byron is a... No, I can't say that. How he is... he's not for our constitution. 449, somebody's expressing some views there. But again, 449-3095, 449-3096, and 449-3097. Let's take a voice note, Thompson. I want this program to be very interactive this afternoon. Let's listen to this.
Matt, based on what you played a while ago, I mentioned before, Skerritt is trying to circumvent any constitutional involvement as far as electoral reform. But in the same vein, he is subverting the Constitution because all this stuff that he's talking about and he's so involved in this process, it's not his purview. That should be done by the Electoral Commission. Where is the commission? That is the question. Okay, and the fact that he wants to shove it down the people's throat. All these things that are in that paper that Byron wrote, he was quite involved in telling Byron what he wants, but now he wants to throw Byron under the bus and make it look like it's Byron when he was a part of the problem. This man speaks with forked tongue, and you got to be careful what he says and watch how you digest what he says. I think there should be more involvement, and you should have an interview with the commissioners. More so than Roosevelt Skerritt. That's not his purview. He's the prime minister. He's supposed to get the money for the voter's ID and not a national ID. Thank you.
I've said it before, Thompson, and I'm one who is cautiously optimistic about electoral reform in Dominica. Do you, from your heart, Thompson, believe that we will get electoral reform?
Man, one thing I know, and I made it very clear to Her Excellency this morning, that this is the single most important issue for the country. And it will be a defining moment. I think we can go, we are on a knife's edge, basically. And how we deal with that issue of electoral reform will have an enduring legacy. It will have an enduring impact on the future of this country. So it's not to be taken lightly. Is something, as I said, we've been trying very hard, even within our party, to be cool about it, to be patient with it. But there are lots of people who have expressed impatience, who think it's taking too long, and I agree that it's taking way too long. But at the end of the day, make no doubt about it, this issue of electoral reform is the single most important issue facing Dominica right now, because it has so much implications for so many different things. And I even went as far as saying that, you know, with a level playing field, with electoral reform, whichever party wins, it's okay. You know, nobody is saying that they will not support or they will not agree with a party that wins. The problem is that is when you have a party winning, when they cheat or when they steal the elections, that is when you have the basis for discord and dissension and problems.
So it's not a level playing field.
It's not a level playing field. And electoral reform is expected to bring that back to a level playing field. And that is an important issue. That's why we await this piece of legislation, which was promised, by the way, very clearly, 2 weeks in April. We are waiting. The countdown is on.
Today's what? The 22nd?
22nd.
So we have passed the 2 weeks?
We've passed the 2 weeks.
Where is Prime Minister Skerrit on this one? Hello, talk to me on the telephone, yes?
Yes, Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Thompson Funky.
Yes, good afternoon.
Matt, I listened to Roosevelt Skerrit. And that man not going to give us electoral reform the way that it should be, the right way. He is going to do it the way he wants it, because he will not give it to us the way he cannot fix the election. Thank you very much.
All right, then let's go back to the telephone. Are you there, yes? Uh-huh. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon to you. So.
Good afternoon to a former teacher, a Met officer, or weatherman, I call him, world-renowned economist, author, diplomat, trained economist, political leader of the United Workers' Party, and the next prime minister of Dominica. Good afternoon to you, sir.
You say that is so much confidence, also.
Very much so, because Mr. Dr. Thompson right now is the man who can lead us to the next general election with respect to commanding the majority and to get us where we want. But Matt, interestingly, you've heard me, and many times you've heard other callers. You've heard me said before that we never needed Mr. Byron's report to conduct changes or to have electoral reform. You have heard me said that countless times. And I think the Prime Minister has now confirmed that he has wasted taxpayers' money, and that all along the United Workers' Party has been proposing a five-pointer, as Dr. Thompson has outlined. And he's resorting now to that same five-pointer to bring change. And so he's telling us the report has no meaning to us and it can go in a dumpster. All along we were correct. But more importantly, Matt, it is not about saying it. The government must act now, and the government must give people of Dominica electoral reform now. And the behavior of the leader of this country appears to me that he thinks that he can come and give what he wants. It's not what he thinks people want, is what everyone says that he or she wants. It's not a certain sector of the population that say, I need that. And he's saying, those who want. Dominica wants electoral reform. It's not those who want. So I hope in the interest of the people that the government can see it reasonably fit and understand that electoral reform is not for one party, it's for everybody. Let everybody contest on a level playing field, so that at the end of the exercise, we can concede defeat and move on in building the country. So Dr. Thompson Fongden, I wish you well. I have confidence in you. The Dominican people have confidence in you. And we are moving forward in full swing with support for you and for Dominica.
Let me ask you, so, what are the provisions that the Prime Minister is now talking about? Don't you think he has a right to speak to the public about his concerns?
Oh, definitely. In fact, Matt, if you go back to the history, let's take it in chronological even order there. Mm-hmm. We had already Prime Minister made the pronouncement to engage Dr. Sir Dennis Byron. Mm-hmm. Right. Although that came one and a half year later, okay, it happened. Then following Dennis Byron's consultation with the people, he submitted a report one, report two. Then after the consultation, there must be another stage. And the other stage is the compilation of what comes out from the consultation and what you are presenting it. Why do you want to hide behind a website of government for me to go and read? It means that you do not want no further change. What you actually say no is what you are going forward with. But I thought then when they will come and say, look, Dominican, that's what has been reviewed. That is what we feel that we want to go forward with. Let's have a final view of the public. Go again, make us another wrong. And then you come and you have a final. So all of us agree that is what is it. You now come, you have a finding. No one knows what is in your last finding. And then you're going to publish it on a website. That means that what is published is what you're going with. That cannot work. So the point is he has right to speak. But in the way he speaks, is not so. He has to go back to the people, have the same outreach program, go and meet the people and explain to the people what is it that the government has come up with respect to what is it that the people expect on their behalf, so that we know that when we actually go to full electoral reform, there will be no confusion and all hands will say, yes, I want it. That's the approach I know, consultative-like approach.
All right, thank you again. Thank you. Glenroy Coffee. The caretaker of the Roseau constituency. Somebody says on a WhatsApp message, it's a damn shame that after Sir Byron was paid well over $750,000 to review and prepare a report on electoral reform, the Prime Minister is now saying that Sir Byron presented proposals that were in violation of the Constitution. Well, maybe Mr. Prime Minister should now request a full refund from Sir Byron. What a shame. Dominicans, please wake up and take back your country. On a telephone call, let's do this. Hello, yeah?
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Mr. Fontaine.
Yes, good afternoon.
Matt, just for clarity, did Roosevelt Kerrit actually say it in that light, or did he say that the propositions that Mr. Byron has made would require constitutional amendment? Wouldn't that be a better way to say it? Or how did he say it, Matt?
Well, I'm sure you heard him.
No, Matt, I'm asking because I'm not clear on it. Did Roosevelt Kerrit say that, like, Sir Dennis Byron doesn't know what he's talking about? Because
that's the impression I'm getting.
Well, I would think that Sir Dennis Byron made propositions that would require the constitutional change, which would also require the public being involved in it and having, what's the word I'm looking for here? He used it. Where the public votes on it.
Yeah. Referendum.
Referendum,
yeah. And it sounds like Mr. Kerrit is afraid of referendum. He sounds like he's also afraid of having constitutional changes. But the problem with Mr. Kerrit is that he's just like Donald Trump. I've said it many times. Many, many times. It's all about his way. It's not about what is in the public interest. And Mr. Kerrit has created such a delay in the process. It seems like now he's constructed something that's creating more of a delay than he anticipated, because it seems election is going to come up on him and there's not going to be any reform. He's constructed it that way. He created the delay. Now the delay is too long, and all of a sudden he wants to railroad and get it done. But we're still not sure what the hell he wants to get done. He hasn't sent it. He hasn't put it out in the public, so that the public can look at it. So it's total madness. This guy needs some consultation. He's a little psychological, I think, in my humble opinion. Enough said.
It's your opinion. I don't think I've consulted any doctor on his psychiatric mental state. Huh? 156, hello, talk to me. You're right, it's your opinion. So the doctor has broken the wings of the legal eagle, an eminent legal luminary, by saying that he made recommendations to electoral reform that are contrary to Dominica's constitution. Sir Byron must now apologize to the Dominican public for his error in judgment. If it is so, or must clear his good name and straighten the doctor. Hello, talk to me on the telephone, yes?
Good afternoon, Nurse Dairampo here.
Hi, Nurse.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fontaine.
Good afternoon.
I believe all the other ministers that Kerrit has, he should put what he write and send out there. He should go back at his office, sit with all his men, and see if that making sense, if Dominicans are children, big people, or people that really want justice. Kerrit have to know here is not his land, here's not his place, and he's dealing with individuals. Norma Thomas Dalrymple, repeat me those two cards he want there. A voter's card I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want, if it's not that, I will not be going to.
You're not participating.
To take no information, and I'll not be doing it. People are not scared children. He's in charge of a country, he said. He wants to do the right thing. He's a disappointment to me. When I hear that English, and Mr. Scary say, you have English, you have? Bye-bye.
Bye-bye to you. 157, it sends out the wrong message.
Yes. You know, Matt, it does. And as I expressed again at the meeting this morning, I was telling the president, you know, in other countries, that these things are routine. You know, electoral changes and voter ID cards and clean voters list, at least in the rest of the region. I said I was just in Antigua, and they cannot understand what's going on in Dominica, because they do that routinely.
In other words, what's the confusion?
What's the problem to clean the list and then to issue voter ID cards? You know, so it is not as difficult as the Prime Minister is trying to make it appear. It certainly is not. You know, you just need to make a few adjustments to the existing legislation to strengthen it, and that's it.
All right. More telephone calls is 158. Talk to me.
Matt, is the head of the Electoral Commission still alive? Is he bound somewhere?
Oh, you mean Mr. Duncan Stowe?
Matt, has he been imprisoned?
Well, I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know where he is.
But that is the person who should be most vocal at this time. This is the man leading the commission, the Electoral Commission on Electoral Reform. We're not hearing a peep squeak from him, Matt. This is unbelievable. How can this guy be the head of the Electoral Commission? And we're only hearing from Skerrit. Skerrit shut him up and has dominated him. He needs to stand up and tell Mr. Skerrit, stand down. When we want the finance, we will refer to you. That's what he needs to do. But we're not hearing anything. The man is mute. What's going on? But, of course, he's another passport agent, just like Lira. What do we expect? Enough said.
Also, it was said that the observers who were at the recently held consultation submitted a report which is yet to be disclosed to the citizens of Dominica. Reports indicate that the Prime Minister is also not happy with the content of the observer's report. The report needs to be disclosed to the public. There needs to be full transparency. You agree?
Huh? Absolutely, Matt. We need that. You know, and it is just not all that difficult. You know, you get the impression that, you know, we have to go through all of those hoops and, you know, clean the list, Matt. For goodness sake, just clean the list. Issue voter ID cards, give us access to the radio station, and let us run our elections. I just don't see what all of this, you know, back and forth, this delay, this stretching, promising dates, and not. There's no need for that, absolutely no need.
On the telephone, 2 o'clock in the Eastern Caribbean, yes? Are you there, caller? You're not. Hello, yes?
Mr. Pelco, blessed day to you, sir.
Blessed day to you, too.
Doc, welcome home. Blessed day to you.
Yeah, thanks, blessings. Welcome.
Doc, I want to give you a little heads up on something. Doc, the ECCB is the Caribbean,
Eastern,
not the Caribbean Eastern, Court of Justice. Come
Eastern
on.
Caribbean Central
ECCJ?
Bank.
That is what I wanted to say. But imagine you don't go to school, it's a bad thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Doc, the world economy crash, and keep that in mind because I notice you're not on that trend. 2008, I know there must be hundreds of different overseers and under their watch. It crashed. I know you as a financial expert with the discipline and the diplomacy and all of that. And you said that the ECCB is overseeing our bank that is almost insolvent or bankrupt, Doc. That's my, not, I was about to say layman, but I forget I'm not a chicken. I can lay any eggs. As I am limited in the knowledge of those things. Doc, what is going to prevent that bank, I'm hearing, this criminal enterprise is doing so much to destroy from crashing? Just keep that in mind, and so maybe one day when you're on that wave line, we can talk. Doc and Matt, the listening public, Skerrit is saying, Matt, you say you throw a man in water. Oh, not throw a man in water. A man deliberately jump in deep water and is unable to swim. That's what Skerrit usually does. Skerrit is saying everything to alert the Dominican public, but in his own delusional lack of comprehension, he say nothing. Skerrit talk about electoral reform and the Byron recommendations or his report, and it is bordering words to that effect on the violation or coinciding some kind of thing with the electoral, with the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But he do not want referendum. That is taking too much time. But I gonna take an early afternoon nap, maybe I get my wires crossed. So what he is telling Dominicans, boss, I run things, go to hell, it's not your damn business, and nobody will stop me from going ahead, no law, no constitution. So even if it is coinciding or it is violating our constitution, I am going to go ahead with it anyway. And he said, even if all you don't want it, all you want it, and who said they want it, and it's us to judge if they really mean what they say. And Skerrit is saying one groping in broad daylight for something convincing and appropriate to pacify the people, which he failed dismally. He's just provoking the people of Dominica, and Dominica have too much damn cowards. They lack any form of, let me see, they cannot inspire, they cannot motivate, they cannot mobilize a people, because everybody's afraid of getting arrested and jailed. And Madam trying that for years and nobody haven't come. And I cannot say what, but Madam just saying Dominicans have taken enough. How can you have a man? The man tries best is bring his woman there as, oh, we can't take up a Roso. No, we bring a palre. He give a minister of housing. He give a thing to mash up botanical garden. She says they have Navy SEALs and snipers. There is nothing these criminals have not done to bring about an overripe revolution in Dominica. And Dominicans are there passive, you know, and maybe too naive to realize now is the time. And if we allow things to fester, it's not going to get any better, Matt. So can Dominicans wake up, mobilize the people? I'll be there on my crutches. Oh, Matt had brought me a wheelchair. Thanks to what's the name, singing, swinging, Sandy. God bless you and thank you. I will be there because Bob Marley said it. Who is going to stay at home when the freedom fighters are fighting? I refuse to relent. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And this, I will not say the word. I got to use a nasty word there, Matt. Cannot believe he can be more bad than Dominicans, or he have more rights over Dominicans in Dominica. He better go back where he come out there, Matt, and Dominicans have to fight. We're ready for fight, but we are too damn coward, and we need leaders. Leaders to take charge and tell the people, that is how we are going. I don't know what the hell happened to Dominicans.
All right, Blessings, thank you. Now, the impression I'm getting from Blessings and others is that the other civic groups, organizations, political parties seem to be a little too soft on their approach.
Matt, I think it's at the end of the day, is the result, is what result you want. I think there are two approaches. There is the approach that says you can use protests, actions on the street and so on, or you could do the diplomatic route. At the end of the day, what you want is electoral reform. The question is, if we had accepted the first option, would we be any closer? Would we have gotten it quicker? I mean, that's always up to debate because we did not go down that route. So I think sometimes it's just a balancing act, you know, in terms of what you believe is better to get the results. Because after all is said and done, what you really, truly want is to get electoral reform, get a level playing field. And the question is, what is the best means of doing that?
Hello, Matt. Good afternoon. Let me just put something there towards Dr. Thompson. Dr. Thompson, hi. You're talking as if you have no rights. You do not understand your rights. You do not understand your constitutional rights. Why do you think that any government will give anybody anything? Who put the government there? Did they put themselves there? The same hand that put any government there is the same hand that will take them out. And you all know you will never get scared out there by any hand. Okay? Four consecutive general elections has passed and the opposition has yet to win. Why? You are waiting on Skerry to put this and that. Do not wait for Skerry to give you nothing. Nothing will happen. What you have to do is to get the Dominican people together and get down in the ministry and demand Skerry give all you a date and time when everything will be in place. That's all. Stop wasting our time just talking nonsense. Look at what the email that was sent from Tony Astafan to Skerrit to protect his winning legacy. And you're just sitting down with Matt in a studio saying that Skerrit should put this together and this is what you want from Skerrit and Skerrit. Skerrit don't give a damn about what you want. He doesn't give two hoots what all you want. Haven't you seen that before? Haven't you all understand or that you all do not want to face the reality? You get yourself to Dominica. You get the people.
He's already in Dominica, so he's not again.
Matt, quite clearly, this individual is ready to go on the streets. I mean, and that is the point I was making Exactly the point I was making. You have different ways to skin a cat. This person thinks that the way it should be done mm-hmm. is to go out on the street, to be violent, to go on the street, demand, and so on. I mean, so the question at the end of the day is, will you be a part of that process? Or will you be doing it as we're doing now as Electoral Reform Coalition? We're in dialogue. We're doing it. It is... You know, there are pros and cons for both approaches.
Somebody agrees and says a peaceful protest can be very effective.
Effective, yeah. So, you know, but some people are saying, no, you need to be, you're too, as you said, you know, the accusation is that you're too soft. You know, people have this idea, Matt, that we go on the streets, everybody comes out, and next day we have, yeah, maybe that can work. Maybe it can work. And you know, the important thing that we have to note is that we saw what happened in 1979. I think I was old enough to see what happened then. And a very important difference between now and then was that in 1979, we had a very strong union, right? The unions were able to do things. A lot of what took place in 1979 was on account of the unions. The unions are the ones who had the members who could shut the country down, who could call the members to go out and strike. As a political party, you don't have that. Most of these types of events that this voice note that you just played is calling for, usually it's not led by a political party. It's usually led by a civic group or individuals within the private sector. So that idea that as a political party, you're the one that should be, you should not pursue the diplomatic tact. What, and Matt, we have to be very careful, you know. When we begin to agitate for that type of approach to solving our problems, you use it now to solve the problem of electoral reform. Now, let's assume our office, we are in office now. It means that every time the public disagrees with us, that's the route that they're going to take. Because they now understand that what you do is, when you're dissatisfied, you take to the streets and you do it that way. Again, let me be very clear, Matt. There are two approaches to this. The approach that this caller is suggesting, which I suspect, I'm not sure, is that person here in Dominica?
No.
I thought so.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, it is very easy, you know, to stay behind your computer, to stay where you are in the comfort of your homes and suggest that this can be done. The reality on the ground is that we are not where we were in 1979. It was easy to put pressure on the government in 1979 because you could shut the country down. Okay, persons could go on strike. That was effective. That was very effective because of the way it was done. We are not in that space this time. Public servants, for example, Matt, they will not even go on strike for their own wage increases. They've not gotten an increase in over 10 years. They're not even going on strike for their own personal welfare. Well, maybe they will go on strike for electoral reform. But, you know, sometimes we make this comments, and I see it all the time. I get a lot of pressure, especially on social media, saying, why are you guys sitting down? Go out there and march and get this thing done quickly.
Is it a question of fear, Thompson?
It's not a question. It's absolutely a question of fear. I'm not afraid to be arrested. I've already been through that. I've been arrested for a lot less than that. So it's not a question of fear, Matt, but I think it's a question of... As a party, you need to be responsible. You see, people need to understand that. We are a responsible political party, and we are responsible for our actions. We believe that we can get the result of electoral reform, the method that we are pursuing. If it gets to the point where we see we cannot get it, but at least let us try. Let us exhaust. We have not yet exhausted that process. Let us exhaust that process. And then if that fails, we say, okay, well, let's move to the next step. But the idea that you just go that route right away without giving that other process a chance, I don't think is right. Because in any case, at the end of the day, do you want to spite your face? Or you said to spite your face, to clear your nose or whatever it is, are you willing to break everything down to get to that when you can do it another way? And I'm saying that as a responsible political party that understand the implications, understand the dynamics, particularly as it relates to public protest in Dominica, we have to pursue it in a way that is responsible. And for those who are impatient, we understand your impatience, but let us at least exhaust that particular method first.
All right, Skerrit did say that he would implement all recommendations from Dennis Byron and he's now saying something completely different. On the telephone, 213, talk to me, yeah?
Hey, my brother Matt, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, yes.
Yes, and let me say good afternoon to Dr. Thompson Fongpin, political leader of the United Workers Party.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is Earl Bruno here from Wana. Yes, I. Doc, first of all, I want to thank you for the assistance you give to the people of South Sudan, which is, you know, black community, our creed, our race. So I want to say kudos to you for that, first of all. And the second point is, here it is, you in South Sudan, getting our brothers and sisters, our black brothers and sisters, to understand that drawing arms, pulling guns, killing each other with arms, it's not economical, it's not ethical, it's not wise. And, of course, you, since you've been there, a lot of strife has been made. You were able to get all the generals and all the, you know, to come together. Look, right now, they are in the process of having democratic elections. So to be doing that right South Sudan with about 11 million people, or how much million people, and to in Dominica, with just about 60-something thousand people, to be for one to be suggesting that you have to be agitating violence or war or protest or demonstration, because I will tell you, any demonstration that may occur in Dominica, I fear that it will be gross and brutal. I was talking with some young men over the weekend, and based on their utterance, I tell them, you see that? That is why, you know, I would prefer an easier transition rather than any kind of uprising or them or so on and so forth. Because what is coming in, what the fourth, I tell you, it's not welcoming, it's not nice. So that is why I believe that good sense will prevail with regards to the electoral reform that Roosevelt carried. I have no doubt that good sense going to prevail and conscience going to step in, that he's going to bear in mind that he is already serving his time, and Dominica is for everybody. And when he moves out of politics, then Dominica will still remain. So that is why it is important that to get the electoral reform in a smooth transition without non-violence or any major uprising. Because I will tell you, if they do otherwise, it will left to the people, not no party, not no organized group, but it has to be collective, labor, workers, freedom, everybody, until and unless that everybody in Dominica don't come to the realization that electoral reform is not a party thing, it's a Dominica thing. When they come to the realization and come to the fore, when all of us put our hands together, then we can have free and fair, and nobody to stop that.
All right, caller, thank you very much. Let's take more phone calls. Are coming in here, man. That's a tactic by the doctor to the third power. He said not too long ago that he had plans to dealing with the electoral reform by April or whatever month, he said. So now he comes up with a nonsensical story. So only now we recognize that the recommendations made by are contrary to Dominica's constitution, somebody's asking. It's time people tell this man that he must stop lying and stop believing people on the island are fools that are unaware of garbage. 10-2-2-17. Hello, talk to me, yeah? Mm-hmm.
My beloved brother.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Fountain, 15 years we are asking for electoral reform. We are negotiating, Dr. Fountain. You there with me, my brother? I'm asking your question personally. I'm asking directly, not personally, but directly. Is that how long we are there fighting and negotiating and talking, my brother?
Yeah, well, as I said, blessings, the question is, the other approach that is on the table, would it have achieved a quicker response? I guess that's the way I would answer that.
Dr. Fountain, listen to me, my brother. If 15 years is not enough to bring about exhaustion, and we are talking, we want to go the diplomatic way, the peaceful way. Dr. Martin Luther King went the peaceful way. You not engaging in any, who asking for revolution, who asking for violence, who asking for blood. I just listened to a caller there, I will not call him a fool, but he sounds like one, talking about Dr. Fountain in South Sudan, you know, thinking about guns. Who asking for guns? When people take to the streets and protest, look at what is happening in all the colleges and universities in America, people, pro-Palestinian and protesters. How many people have been killed? People are pitching the tents and saying, nobody. I am just saying we are driven by fear. And your fears is not going to run away from you because you're fearful. If anything, it will draw what you're fearing to you.
Blessings. Let me ask you a question on that. Do you remember the Arab Spring?
I remember the Arab Spring, all right.
Do you remember the countries that got liberated because of the Arab Spring, because they went on the streets? There were several of them, right?
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember similar action was taken in Syria? Hundreds of thousands demonstrating?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Were they successful while other countries were?
How do you judge success?
The regime is still in place. Regime is still in place after countless hundred thousands were sacrificed. The people were still in place. The regime was still in place. In other countries, for example, Morocco and Egypt, they were able to change the regime. All I'm saying is that it is not a guarantee. You understand? That's what I'm saying. And I want us to think about it because I understand the frustration. I understand this, but also blessings. When you have a situation where public servants who could probably have the biggest exertion on this activity, not even willing to stand up to go to march for their own salary increases. I was asking the question, do you believe, blessings, having observed everything in Dominica, do you believe that they would come out in numbers to demonstrate for electoral reform?
That's a direct question. I'm going to answer your question. And Matt, please allow me, I'm going to conclude. Dr. Fountain, listen to me, my brother. You are already insinuating I'm asking for an Arab Spring in Dominica. I need blood. I need...
He's asking you basically whether it worked.
We were talking about protest action and protesting and then the reaction. You protest and there's a reaction from the authorities. That's all I'm saying. That was the Arab Spring. People came out on the streets and there was a response from the authorities. I'm saying every time you do that, there is a response. Even you talked about the protest now for the thing. They're arresting people when they come out on these college campuses. You're on a college campus, you go out there, you protest. The police come, they arrest you, they take you away, they release you the next day. In Dominica, you go out and protest. As it starts with people, the police come out, they start shooting people. Okay? So there is, it always provokes a reaction on the part of the authorities. That is what I was drawing with regard to the Arab Spring, blessings.
Include, because Dr. Fountain just take over me, they're rude.
No, blessings. I won't say that. He was answering a question that you asked earlier. I want to interject here.
Because I'm not insinuating. I'm speaking and I want him to understand exactly what I was saying. I was not saying that it was going to be violent. I'm saying that when you go out, there is always a reaction from the authorities.
Well, let's take another phone call. 222, blessings, I think you missed interpreted the answer from Dr. Fountain. Hello, talk to me, yes?
Mm-hmm. My good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to Dr. Fountain.
Yes, good afternoon.
Matt, I am one of the callers that live overseas that always say to you that mm-hmm. I does not shout boots on the ground because I am not there to help. I can send out $200, I will. But Matt, when you come to tell people boots on the ground, I'm in Totola, it's unfair. But I want to ask Dr. Thompson Fountain, whether he believes that Dominica will ever receive or obtain proper electoral reform when a man is already a dictator. He knows better than me. Which dictator he knows that will ever want to leave office? Matt, I want to conclude. Let us say long. When this guy stole the birds, I was working with an 83-year-old man in Totola and my phone always on. He said to me, Caesar, the man sell the birds, he send these birds away. He told me, a dictator, the only thing that gets rid of them is cancer. And he's a gentleman. a lot of years now, is cancer, a revolution. I'm never seen for none, but that's according to the old man. That will stop them because they know exactly what they are doing. They do not want to leave office. If they leave office, they'll go to jail. So they will kill people. Matt, let me say that in conclusion. The amount of little protests we had in Dominica, you ever see US police always coming at people with guns? The only set of people that have protested the other day and no police go after them with guns are the people from the Sufre, Scotland, and Gallo constituency. And so let me call upon them and watch them that they are my villagers. People of Sufre, Scott said, and Gallion, you all did well the other day. I appreciate you for that. These garbage that are going in Dominica where the Prime Minister do not want to give us proper electoral reform. Let him know you love him, but stand with the people and tell him, stop it, enough is enough. Thank you, Matt.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back right after this. Very fiery discussion here this afternoon on the Talk on the Block. Stick around.
Lingo. More upon more city tingo. Is more wet flow if you didn't know. True. All these deals is a winner. Right. More upon more wet flow. More data, more talk for sure. More WhatsApp, video cast up. Unlimited talk, so you not stop chat.
Flow prepaid combo plans just got better. With even more data and unlimited talk. Take advantage of WhatsApp and all its features with our new prepaid plans. Unleash your creativity with more social media. Dial *129 number sign to activate.
Now that's the new vibe in the lingo.
Yes.
More pan, more sell the tingo. It's more with flow, now you really know.
Catch it now.
All these deals make you save more. Get more.
Somebody's suggesting here on a WhatsApp, Matt, people need to understand that political parties are not responsible for the removal of any government through any act of violence. It is up to the people to remove their government either through elections or civil disobedience or violence if need be. Let's go to the telephone. It's 2:26 in the afternoon. Hello, yes.
Hi, good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to you. Yes.
This is Joshua Francis.
Good afternoon, Joshua.
Good afternoon, Dr. Fontaine.
Hi, Josh. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. Hi. I just wanted to put my voice on public record that I lend support to the call for electoral reform. However, my position remains the same.
Which
that
is?
If we are waiting for the Dominican Labour Party to provide the type of electoral reform that the opposition desires, or even compromise significantly, that is not going to happen. Because the issue is the Westminster system. That is a problem. Of course, we're not going to change that. However, we must acknowledge that the current electoral system has worked for the Dominican Labour Party. And therefore, they would not be desirous of changing the system. They would want to maintain the status quo. And they have made electoral reform appear to be so complicated. Yes, of course, you're going to have contention, because every party is juxtaposing to satisfy its own interests. But one of the problems that continue to confront Dominica is that we have people in government serving their self-interest and not the national interest. So we have had a change in the political behavior of the characters who present themselves to represent people. It's an integrity issue. In countries where you have representatives with scruples and high integrity, they will take decisions which serve the nation, serve their people's best interest. But now we have representatives who are seeking and serving self-interest. So I hear some of your callers, as an example, asking for the Electoral Commission to make the necessary or take the necessary steps. That is not going to happen because the Electoral Commission has the majority of members as part or supporters of the government. You would agree with me, right, Dr. Fountain?
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in decision-making, it expects that the majority rules. The majority rules. So the power is left in the hands of the people of Dominica. And every political entity in the opposition and every individual who wants to see that we get some kind of just electoral reform, because I have no doubt we will get electoral reform at some point. The question is, what type of electoral reform are you going to get? Is it necessarily going to change the political landscape? Is it really going to create a fair environment? Because really, every citizen in every country in a democracy has a right to a free and fair election. But we have several issues in Dominica. Number one, what is the interest of electoral reform to every citizen in Dominica? Is it a number one item? Is it important to them? Well, in most democracies, everybody would be concerned about the safeguard of the democratic institutions and principles. Is it that important to Dominicans? Have we educated Dominicans adequately for them to come out on the street?
Hey, let me just jump in here, Joshua, to make a point of a WhatsApp message. There will never be free and fair elections in Dominica as long as this prime minister remains in power. Do you believe that? Let me ask Joshua.
Yes, I believe that. I believe that, except if the people of Dominica stand up and demand proper and just electoral reform.
No. Explain that for me, because we're having a problem. Another problem we have been having callers challenging. What form of action, a protest action, would you recommend? Yes.
Well, first of all, Matt, we have to inspire the nation. We go on the radios. I noticed that you have a coalition of individuals seeking electoral reform and going to different parts of the island trying to enlighten and educate people. We really need to do more of that. We need to do house to house. We need to have village meetings. We need to inspire the nation, get each and every Dominican to understand the significance for electoral reform or of electoral reform. That's number one. Number two, we have to create a driving force in Dominica, create a wave where more and more citizens come out to peacefully protest for electoral reform.
So you're saying there needs to be more mobilization? Is that what you're looking for?
That is critical, because, you see, we have to understand, and I hear people talk about 1979, we have to understand the times are different. Our young people think differently. The political dynamics have changed. Politics has become more transactional and less ideological. And people are more prepared to look for immediate gratification than to stand for a cause and to bring patriotic change to Dominica's landscape. But nonetheless, we have an opportunity to go out there, inspire the nation, get them to understand the significance of electoral reform, and get them on the streets. So you combine that with different forms of strategies, because no one strategy is going to necessarily work. Of course, I have brilliant ideas coming from your callers. So what we could do is fuse those strategies and to work until we get the just electoral reform that we require. But ultimately, Matt, ultimately, we have to work to get the majority of Dominicans here and abroad to reject this government. And we are not necessarily going to get a change of government through a change of the election system. We have hearts and minds. We have to find a way to get Dominicans to understand that this government has been in office for the past 25 years. Hopefully by the next constitutionally due election, it will be more than that, 27, 28 years, and to get them to reject this government. Because in as much as we change it, there are several issues and several variables in electoral reform act. We can go to Parliament and call for a different type of electoral system. And we may be successful. I don't see this administration, you know, passing electoral reform laws where we're going to start from scratch. A clean list. It's unlikely we're going to get that. Unless it...
So you're not too optimistic there? No?
No, I'm not that optimistic. Matt, if you're a political leader and the system is working for you, would you be in a hurry to change it? The answer is no. If you're the captain of a cricket team and you keep winning championships after championships, whether you're doing it honestly or dishonestly, you don't want to change unless you get caught, the umpire calls on you, or some system gets you, and you're either forced to change or you get out of the race. And that is why the answer to the question goes back to the people of Dominica. But to get the people of Dominica to support the call for electoral reform, we first have to inspire them. We have to put the proper structures and mechanisms in place.
So what is the timeline that you're looking at this point? I mean, we don't have too much time, do we?
Well, Matt, that work should have been in progress a long time ago. Of course, there have been a number of people talking as to whether...
So there's too much talk then, Joshua Francis?
The time has come where there is too much talk. We need to come together collectively and make this happen. More and more, we need to go there. And again, Matt, this is going to come from going on the ground. Going on the ground, the radio has its place. It was Winston Churchill, you know, who told the English people that we'll fight them on the beach, fight them in the air, and fight them on the land. So right now, we have to put our efforts in a different package. We have to work where the radio serves the purpose. We go on the ground, we use social media, and we inspire the people to come out and to protest against this government in trying to pass an electoral reform that is not going to create the just society that we want. Because you see, Matt, if you take a corrupt seed and put it in the soil, you're going to get a corrupt plant. And we have had a corrupt government for the past 25 years. And for those of us who think they're going to take it on their own volition to gain integrity, that's not going to happen. The head is already rotten. When something is rotten, you have to take it off and you have to go to the roots. If you have a tree that is corrupt, you do not remove the branches and the stem. You go into the soil, you uproot it, you take it up from the garden.
All right, Joshua Francis, thank you. Thank you for your intervention here this afternoon there. But you would agree with some of the sentiments shared by Joshua?
Yeah, absolutely, on the need for mobilization, on the need for going out and educating the masses, absolutely. That has to be part of the process. And I think, you know, we've engaged in some of that, but I mean, probably not to the extent probably that as we should have. I must admit that there are some failures in that, but is one of those things that, as I said, you know, you have to choose which way to go, you know, given you, and with everything, you have to analyze everything and decide which is the best way to go. And he's very right. The fact that the Prime Minister has used that as his winning legacy, it becomes difficult. And that's probably some of what we are seeing in the hesitation, in the postponement and so on. That seems to be part of that, you know.
Somebody says Joshua is on target. His analysis is on spot on. We need a ground warfare. How do we get this ground warfare going on?
By going out to the different constituencies again.
Do you think enough of that is being done by the opposition forces, not just the United Workers Party?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. More certainly can be done in that regard. It certainly can do a lot more educating, a lot more, you know, reaching out directly on the ground. Absolutely.
Hello, talk to me.
Yes, Matt.
Hi.
Matt, it is the onus is on the opposition to do that, but the government, the incumbent, is using apartment buildings, handouts. You know, they're not necessarily going house to house. They're using government money in that fashion to so-called brainwash or bribe, I would say, the people. So they have an upper hand. But Matt, going back to it, a lot of it has been the people that they have appointed in these key positions. I go back to the head of the Electoral Commission. He's a passport agent. There's only one way. I don't care what Skerritt says about having coffee. There's only one way you become a passport agent is by having coffee with Skerritt. And when he chooses you as his chief electoral commissioner, whatever that title is, I think that's a bit much for a CBI agent to be electoral commissioner or be part of the commission. And there's more than one of them on the Electoral Commission. I think that's going a little too far. And I think maybe while the president says she cannot do this and that, I believe when I read the Constitution, she does have the power to do this and that. Enough said.
All right, thank you very much. More telephone calls, 238. I don't think we have enough time for the number of issues that we are exploring here in the afternoon. Maybe, when do you leave, Dr. Thompson Fountain?
On the weekend.
Yes. So maybe later this week we'll ask more specific questions about other issues in the afternoon sometime. Hello, talk to me on the telephone, yes?
Do you want to allow me to speak, Matt?
I will allow you to speak, yes, and you have to allow other people to speak as well.
Anybody, I am not disrespecting Thompson. Allow me to speak. I was badgered by Thompson and cut off by you.
No, I'm just saying blessings. Sometimes you have to understand what people say. Dr. Thompson Funke was not attacking you. He was answering the question that you asked. That's basically it. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just saying sometimes you all need to understand what people want to say. But go ahead. Talk to me.
Patrick John never overthrew anybody and he was overthrown. Martin Luther King come preaching peace and love, non-violent. He was assassinated. The Christ came, healing and all king according to the Bible, raising dead and all kind of thing. He was crucified. So if you think you take the way of being aggressive, I'm not talking about violence. I don't know why are you jumping into violence. And Thompson said, if in America you're on campus and you protest, they arrest you today and they let you go tomorrow. But in Dominica, if you go and protest, then the police start shooting. What do you think? Animals are there? Animals that the police will do the thing to intimidate, to terrorize. But I am saying we are cowards, and Skerritt said it in closing. He do not want no opposition. And finally, Dominica haven't got not one damn opposition. No form of resistance. It's talk. First of all, the logical thing, Thompson in Sudan and governing a party in Dominica. All you're crazy like me. All you're mad. All you don't understand revolution. Thank you.
Now I see a change in dynamics all around, Blessing. We're talking about, you know, the questions that you asked Dr. Thompson Fountain, and nobody would cut you off. I mean, of course, you're just talking about answering the questions asked to you. 240, hello, talk to me. Sometimes we have to understand each other, and respectfully, that is. Hello, talk to me, yes?
Yeah, good afternoon, Matt.
Doctor, yes.
Yes, good afternoon.
Matt, based on what I'm listening to Dr. Fountain saying there, one question I want to find out from Dr. Fountain.
Okay.
Because Dr. Fountain believes, but because that's what I'm getting, tell me if I'm wrong, that we should go the diplomatic route. We should try negotiation, talking, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Something that...
But you're saying, Brian, from the impression that too much talk?
Well, Matt, not me saying that, you know, Matt, we have been hearing that on 295.
Okay.
Every day, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then we... The few times we have demonstrated in Dominica, we have seen the effects of the demonstration. What we have been saying all along is that the protest needs to be sustained. That is what we are saying. So I want to find out from Dr. Thompson Fountain, based on the strategy that he says that they are implementing right now, diplomatic role, talking and so on and so on. And at the same time, he recognizes that the other strategies have their place and probably their timing too. Can Dr. Fountain kindly tell us, how long, again, are we to talk? For how many months, how many days, how many weeks? What signs? Until what happens? When are we to stop talking? Or when are we to change strategy? Okay, because we have been talking for a long time now, and that we hear that we must continue talking. I humbly would like to find out for how much longer, please, how many weeks more, how many months more, or can we have something like what the gentleman just...
So you need a timeline, yes?
Yeah, because you're telling me now that the strategy now is for us to go diplomatically, okay? We have been going that way for many years now, so much so they put off Lennox from the house, you know, you remember that? When they escort him from the house, prevented him from giving a budget address, Matt, that is the type of people that we come to. Lucille reminded us of the Tony Astafan email, Matt. The CCJ warned us about the rogues that we are dealing with, and that we are hearing now that we must continue talking. So I want to know if we are going to continue talking at infinitum, or if there is a deadline for us to stop the talk and change the strategy. That is all I want to find out this afternoon.
I see Brian.
We will not be talking at infinite, Tom. And I understand the concern, you know. There will come a point, but the point I also made, Matt, is that You have to understand
but
that.
But Brian is asking for a timeline.
Timeline, yeah. You cannot put a timeline on this. I cannot tell him definitely we'll stop next week. We are waiting to see what comes out of the legislation that is promised. All right? So we'll see what happens. But I cannot tell you, well, okay, we'll stop next week and we'll start this the other week. All I'm saying is that you have processes that you go through. You exhaust one and then you move to the next strategy. The timing of that strategy will depend on the circumstances as they present themselves. I cannot prejudge what the circumstances are. You deal with it as it comes along, you know. The Prime Minister has promised, and I know it's not the first time, he's promised that he's going to give legislation before June that will go to Parliament, that will see the legislation. Let's assume that does not happen. Then we begin to talk about the other side, because now we have a definite, our strategy of dialogue and so on is based on getting something now that we can have go before the Parliament. If that fails, then we begin to talk about other options, you know. But to talk about other options, even when that is being carried through, I think it's you know, it's probably a bit premature.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. This time, the overseas line. Hello, talk to me. This is the talk on the block. Yes. Hello? Hello? On the telephone, are you there? Not on the overseas line. Talk to me, yes? Uh-oh, sorry about that. Let's go back to the overseas line. Are you there, caller?
Yes, hello? I'm there.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yes, my dear friend, you know, Dominica reminds me of Russia. And to me, Dominica is Russia in the Caribbean. You see what the things Putin doing?
Mm-hmm.
Putin don't care anything. Now, take a good look, and I know you guys are listening. You guys are watching TV. See all the demonstrations we have in New York right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are people being tear-jacked? Do you see the New York City police men with machine guns going after people? Yet when you have an innocent, simple, unarmed demonstration, women in Dominica, police out of their tear-jacked, police out of their machine gun. Dominica is a communist country. The gentleman in Sudan is doing a very good job, and I know I like what he say go diplomatically, because if he says something else, the next thing they'll do, they will arrest him. That's how scary it behaves. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. See, somebody's asking the question. Here are the questions that are coming from a WhatsApp message. Where were you when you were called out to participate? Where were you when the lady was ringing the bell? Where were you when the Wednesday workers called you out, etc., etc.? So there have been many calls out there for people to come out, and nobody participates. Nobody is coming out, coming out there on the streets when you're called out. Hello? On the telephone, you see what I'm talking about? Talk to me. Yes.
Dr. Fountain, do everything legally. They want you to be arrested. Martin Luther King and Jesus Christ never had any violence. Don't go and do anything violent. Go through your legal channel. You're on the correct path. They want you to be arrested. Don't get yourself in trouble. Good afternoon.
All right, coming from ASP of police, former ASP. How are you doing, sir? 2-4-6. Hello, talk to me on the telephone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
I love to mention the Bible.
Okay.
A beast without a bridle is a dangerous animal. And we need to put a bridle on the beast that is ruling our country. Unless we put a bridle on that beast, we will never succeed. No matter what we do, because the beast says, let them talk and they can talk from eternity to eternity. He will not stop. So we need to put a bridle on that beast so that we can have liberty in our country. If not, Dominica is already doomed. Thank you.
All right, now here's the young people talking. I want you to listen to this comment there. I think it's coming from Facebook. Tell the political parties to come out on the radio and come on the ground, community to community, and talk to the people about bread and butter issues and their rights as citizens. Show them what is happening now and how it will affect them in the near future. They need some new strategies. Do you agree?
Matt, you know, talking about strategy, and you know, I've listened very carefully to the various callers, and the reality of Dominica is that, you know, as the people of Salisbury, the most successful protest actions we've seen in the recent past in Dominica has taken place in Salisbury. What has been the result of it? 53 persons in Salisbury are still before the courts. Live rounds of ammunition were used on the villagers, not once but twice. People were shot in Salisbury. That is the reality. You know, so yes, we can call people out, but we have to be mindful of that, you know, and people, you know, and sometimes I sit there and I see people saying, you need to be doing, let's deal with the reality that we have in Dominica. We are not in New York, Matt. As this last caller said, the people, and I said it as well, you protest, you sit there, peaceful protest, they come, they take you away. All right. That's not what is done here in Dominica. Guys come. Now, can we change that dynamic? Can we change the dynamic of police officers ready to fire on their own people? Then that's probably the question we should be asking if we're going to go that route. But we need to be responsible at the same time. You know, so again, we have to continue to plan, Matt, for all eventualities. If one plan fails, you work on the other plan. And it is not that. And when I say that, we are waiting, it does not mean that we do not have plans for other eventualities. I'm saying that we are working on one option now. When that is exhausted, we go to the other option. But we have to do it deliberately. We have to do it carefully. We have to do it with the support of the masses. You cannot be out there on your own trying to do something without the support of the masses. Let us understand this, Dominic. And I don't know why people are not understanding this. You know, I don't know why all of a sudden, after 15 years, all of a sudden we have to do everything in 5 months. You know, we've been at it for 15 years, you know, for goodness sake.
I agree, Matt. I agree 200%. The problem is the United Workers Party has lost its presence in various communities. If we were more involved in the village, more people would be inspired. Stop blaming Thompson Fontaine, somebody says. 2:49 is the afternoon time. We have 11 more minutes. This is the Talk on the Block, and I want to bring Dr. Thompson Fontaine back on the radio because we have a little more issues to explore, not just the electoral reform. But hello, let's talk on the telephone. Go back. Yes?
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. We are a little too coward in this country there.
A little what?
We are a little too coward in this country. We are just talking and we are not acting. It's time we act. Let's stop talking. It's time to barbecue.
You want it to like barbecue in Haiti now? You want to? All right, 250 is the trio strength. He's just a common man, you know, expressing himself there in Haiti. Hello, do you think we have any barbecues in Dominica? Hello, talk to me. Yes. Are you there, caller? Yes, sir. That dog is trying to talk to me. Hello, yes? Not yet. Okay. 250, talk to me. Hello. How you doing?
Yes, I'm not. Let me just share my views. I'm listening to the thing there. But
okay.
I believe our problem in Dominica is we're fighting the wrong cause.
Okay.
Most of the time, the United Workers Party supporters fight themselves within. And we're not fighting the real problem. Lennox is not the issue of Dominica. And Thompson is not the issue. The issue is scary. But nobody wants to take the front and go and fight. They want the party leaders to do it. Lennox isn't doing that, and Thompson not doing that. Why not Brian and Blessings push the fight? Go out there and start to do action and then let people follow.
All right, that's one opinion here. Let's move on. 9 minutes to the hour of 3 o'clock, yes?
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, so let me say good afternoon to Dr. Thompson Fontaine.
Yes, good afternoon, good afternoon.
You know, Matt, I've been listening all the time, and, you know, some people are calling and they're getting quite heated up and so on. But I think Dr. Thompson Fontaine is on track. I think there is still room for Jaja. Talk. There's still room. I don't think we have exhausted all avenues, you know, as far as dialogue, and I think we should continue. And, you know, in Dominica, one thing we have to recognize, I know it's taken a long time, but I recognized that a long, long time ago. But it looks as though most of the population have not really recognized it yet. We are dealing with a different type of government. The Caribbean has never seen a government like this one, certainly not in the Windward Islands or in the Leeward. None of the islands have never had a government like this one. You have a government, which other island in the Caribbean where it would appear that the government seemed to be after every opposition, to jail every opposition? That has not happened in no Caribbean island. So we are dealing with a different type of thing. And I'm not quite sure. It will take a lot of studying to study them as to exactly how to tackle them. But our circumstances in Dominica are very, very grave. Because what we are faced with here in Dominica, no other Caribbean island has had to have to face an administration like this one. That's all for today, Matt.
All right. Thank you for representing the North. Somebody else says, man, nothing else can happen for now except talk. When thousands of Dominicans will decide if it's time to take back their country, only then we will have our sea action. The usual suspects who are calling Q95 and are asking for action is not sufficient to make it happen. I love Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Approach Dr. Thompson Fontaine for PM. All right, this is one WhatsApp message. Hello, talk to me on the telephone, yeah? Are you there? Caller, are you there? Nobody there? Let's take another phone call, yeah?
Yes, Matt.
How you doing, bro?
I cool, man. And I want to leave out Matt, too. But quickly, time is of the essence. I want to recognize in the way that Thompson Fontaine is going ahead and doing things. You have to be diplomatic. And even if blessings and my good partner, very good partner in Marigold there, would put a question to you, I love the way he answer. I don't underestimate his intelligence. And you have to be diplomatic. Even if we including me, even if we have plans, we're not going to come on the radio and say, okay, well, that is plan one, plan B, and we will ready next week, we will ready in 2 weeks' time, in 5 months' time. Mr. Thompson, a lot to be said, but time is of the essence. Thanks for being diplomatic.
All right, thank you, caller. Matt, and at the end of the day, right, we are in a democracy. We want to preserve a democratic legacy. So ultimately, what is required from us is to win the hearts and minds of the people of Dominica, you know. That is the bottom line in all of this, in everything that we've said today. At the end of the day, you have to win the hearts and minds of people. So when the system changes, they will see you as people that they can vote for. Okay, and that is very important. That is very important that you know, you are able to appeal to people in such a way that they see you as a responsible party that will be able to take them forward. Ultimately, you want people to vote for you because we are still in a democracy and we have to keep it that way as a democracy.
255, talk to me. Talk to me. Hello. Talk to me. Let's go back to the phone. Yes.
My brother Matt.
Yes, sir. You're back.
Yes, I am back because I think Brother Sam, the political leader, is doing an excellent job. And Matt, for 20 something years, I have been protesting. We have been protesting. And we, you see, the people still, of course, joined ranks with the ruling regime. So I am saying, if we have a new leader now that comes with a different tactics, with a different style, that seeing things differently. We have to understand that every leader have a different tactic, a different style. So something new. We have been getting the same results all the time. So let's see what this result will bring. So I am saying, Matt, you are the manager of your program, Talk on the Block, and also in the morning. So therefore, Matt, you cannot have people continuing to call your callers fool, idiot, stupid. Matt, you have to manage your program. But I want to be a good one, not a stupid one. Not one that believes I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a professor. No. I want to remain as a construction worker, a builder, and a farmer. Good afternoon. God bless.
Oh, boy, you're throwing blows there. 2:57 is the afternoon time. Hello, talk to me, yeah?
I do agree. We need a barbecue or two in Dominica. Seriously. Because you know what? This man is going to go down in history like we all know of Toussaint Louverture. We are going to hear about barbecue because you know what? What he is doing is looking out for his people, you know, and feeding his people. He's taking from the fortunate and give to the less fortunate. That's what he's doing. And there are lots of people in Haiti who are on his side. Okay? We need a barbecue or two in Dominica. I second the motion. I love that.
All right, Dominica 449. Here's somebody saying we need a barbecue in Dominica. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Who will be that barbecue? I'll wait and find out. Thank you very much. Dominicans, they talk a lot. Hello, talk to me on the telephone. Let's do this. All right, just love this song. I'm going to wrap up with it this afternoon. How was Antigua, Dr. Thompson Fontaine? I know you just came back.
It was good. It was good. And
good reception.
Very good reception. You know, the people are very much engaged there in Antigua. And it's a you know, the party, the UPP has a lot that we can also look at in terms of what we can do in Dominique as well. And they're a very strong party. A lot of youth as well that engaged with them, and they've been able to do to make some great inroads, you know, and that's what we're seeking to do here, Martin Dominica. We're seeking to build a party. We're seeking to, you know, to get persons to support the party, and to look at us as people that can take this country forward. And that ultimately is what we want. We want to be a party that the people of Dominica can trust with the future of this country. And that is how we're positioning ourselves. That's what we are doing by strengthening our institutions on the ground, our executive committees on the ground, by reaching out to the people, by doing outreach on the ground constantly. And that is the way to go. That's the way for us to do it.
You've been doing some of that since you've been here?
Well, I just came a couple of days ago, but that is certainly, every time I'm here, I do as much as I possibly can, as I'm physically able. So I'll continue to do that.
What's the reception?
Matt, the reception has been just enormous and so very encouraging. I mean, people are, you know, the fact of the matter is, Matt, a large number of Dominicans have changed their mind about this administration. There's no question about it. You can tell the difference. One of the things I kind of like about Dominicans is that they wear their impressions on their sleeve. You know, if they don't support you, you know it. You know, and persons who in the past, a number of persons who openly showed that they were not supporting our party, now they're having a conversation. Now the approach is different. I can tell you, you know it, you feel it, and you hear it from others. People who live with them on a day-to-day basis will tell you. You know, your neighbor knows. I don't think there is one person in Dominica who has a secret vote.
I met a 70-year-old lady yesterday. She was a strong liberal. She said, I mean, Matt, I have changed my mind.
Yes, and
this nonsense has to stop.
They absolutely mean it. She would not have said that to you probably 2 years ago.
No.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, people who are telling you that, they genuinely mean it. Dominicans, there are no secrets about as far as voting is concerned in Dominica. You know, one of the things, and we should do that as sport, you know, when we do the election agents thing, and my agent sits in the booth. When he reports on the number of votes, the persons who vote, usually it's within one or two votes, you know. They always count within one or two because they take a tally. So when you come into the election, they will tick, say, that person is for us. They will tick it. And usually they are within one or two votes, very, very close, because everybody knows who everybody is voting for. So when they begin to tell you that they are not supporting the Labour Party, they mean it. And we have to encourage them. We have to build a tent. As I said, the United Workers Party, Team Dominica, as the name suggests, is a huge tent. That's why we're working with these various groups, NJAM. We're working with the different groups that are around. We are reaching out across the aisle to former Labourites, even those who support the Labour Party now. We're reaching out to them. We need their vote. I will not be shy to admit that we need their vote. We need the vote of we need the votes of labor rights, just as we need the votes of our base within the party. Because ultimately, Matt, the same way it was done in Grenada. You remember what happened in Grenada? Keith Mitchell came out from winning a complete win, total win, and yet he was defeated, you know, because the work was done on the ground, because people finally got fed up of him. And I think we have that situation here in Dominica. So, you know, I'm very optimistic about the future as far as our party is concerned. I love the fact that people are gravitating towards the party in increasing numbers, especially Labourites and those who once supported the Labour Party. We want to keep encouraging that. We want to encourage them to feel that they belong within our party. And when elections are called, that we'll be able to win in a big way. And that is what I can offer the people of Dominica. That's what I can offer the people of Dominica, to continue to work very hard on the ground, to win hearts and minds, to really speak to people, because the situation speaks for itself. After 24 years of Labour Party rule, this country is in ruin. The economy is devastated. The people are mashed up. You know, very little is happening, and there is very little hope of this government. And so people are understanding that, and they're coming around to us, and we need to embrace them and encourage them to do so.
All right, Dr. Thomas Fountain, let's have a conversation before the end of the week.
We will, okay? Absolutely.
Before you leave.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. 303.
Antiguans wake up.
Dominicans wake up.
Open up your eyes. Your country needs you.
Your country needs you this time. Join me tomorrow morning, to explore the new issue on the block.
After all, this is our native land. That is why I came back to sing, to expose the wicked things they're perpetrating. It is only time for the self-destruct. Greed and power is dirty empty. The purpose in government was for the box.
The pastors are standing by. I'm sure you'll hear some of that tonight on Kingdom Connections. I think I got a note from MO. That MO News will be live on Miridom, or with Miridom, from 3 o'clock. Oh, that's one of the mornings for sure.